friends. Welcome to a very special episode of That Sounds Fun podcast. I am your host, Annie F. Downs, and I'm really excited for you to hear the conversation today with the women from She Reads Truth. If you don't know She Reads Truth, it's a Bible reading plan and a devotional plan that is available. New plans come out every 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 8 weeks, however long they write them. They direct you on what to read in the Bible, as well as kind of like a devotional reading about that text. There is She Reads Truth for women and He Reads Truth for men. And if you weren't around at Christmas, we got the She Reads Truth ladies to pop in here, Amanda Bible Williams and Rachel Myers. They both run She Reads Truth, and they came in and talked to us about Advent. And so with Lent starting next week on Wednesday, March 1st, we thought we would get in here and talk about Lent. Now, here's something to say up front. You do not have to celebrate Lent. And we're going to talk about that in the interview. Lent is not something that is required of Christians or people of faith. It is just an interesting, meaningful Christian seasonal practice that I grew up observing and really loved. And it really has grown to be maybe the most important part of my calendar year is what happens in Lent and what I study and what I read and how I focus. And my life just gets a little bit quieter, if you can believe that, for the 47 days of Lent from Ash Wednesday to Easter Sunday, which this year is on April 16th. The She Reads Truth and the He Reads Truth plans both start next Monday on February 27th, even though Lent doesn't officially start until Wednesday. There's also booklets that go, like, that you can study along with that you can order from shopshereadstruth.com. Now, you do not need them to do the plans, but they are available. So a couple of days ago, you guys knew that I was going to be sitting down with the She Reads Truth girls if you follow me on Instagram or Twitter. And so a bunch of people sent in questions. So what we did is the ladies came to my office and we all sat down and we started chatting about what Lent is and what it means. And we answered the questions you guys sent in. So I hope you will enjoy this conversation about a very special season in our Christian calendar, Lent, with the ladies from She Reads Truth. Guys, welcome back to the podcast. Thank you for being here.
Hey, thanks.
We've had so many people say since our Advent one, because we really set ourselves up for this, because in our Advent one, what's the matter with your coffee?
So the to-go lid on my coffee, when I just drank it, it made a noise.
It made a gurgling noise.
The vent was closed.
The vent was closed.
I'm so sorry.
I'm not mad. We're fine. This is real life. This is the That Sounds Fun podcast. You're not on like
that
something
sounds,
fancy.
That sounds gross.
That sounds, it sounds juicy is what it sounded.
We're back.
And what I was saying is we said to ourselves, we will do this at Lent.
Yeah.
And then as it got closer, people started saying, aren't the She Reads Truth girls coming back to talk about Lent? And I was like, yes, they are.
They sure are.
Yes, they are. And today is Thursday.
Thursday.
The 23rd of February. Thank you.
We don't know where it is.
We don't know where we are.
It's almost
here's
March.
What I know is next Wednesday is
Ash Wednesday,
but y'all's She Reads Truth and He Reads Truth plans start on Monday, the 27th.
So we're doing this on purpose. So Monday and Tuesday of next week, we're taking two full days to talk about Lent. Here's a little bit of history of Lent. Here's some scripture. Like, so we're taking 2 days to kind of lead up to Ash Wednesday. Ash Wednesday is when we're actually studying. So for Lent this year, we're going through straight through the book of Isaiah, 66 chapters in 49 days.
We're doing all 66 chapters. I was wondering, because I know what my assignment was, so I know what I wrote, but I didn't know if we do the whole thing. So we will read the book of Isaiah. Men and women will read the book of Isaiah during Lent.
And so day one is Isaiah 1 and 2. So we're doing two chapters a day.
Got it.
Kind of off.
Are we still reading other things as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But
I do love that because I feel like I always get to read Old Testament and New Testament.
It helps to be able to have that extra. But it's honestly, on some of the days where it's like a lot of Isaiah, there's still supplemental reading, but it's a little lighter just because just to be reasonable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So people don't hate you.
Yeah.
So before we dive way deep into Lent, I was saying to Rachel, Amanda, before you got here, I have loved the Song of Songs plan. Mm.
Good.
And it leading right up to Isaiah is so interesting since they touch each other, right? Yeah. I just think Man, that is really interesting that the two books are next to each other, that we're doing that plan. I mean, I just think it's been a beautiful, the two you wrote already have been really beautiful.
Oh, thank you. So. I don't think that we've done that before where we've done books back to back that are also back to back in the Bible. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've gotten mixed reviews on Song of Songs. It's hard. You know, it's a tough book to read. For different, you know, for lots of reasons. It can be tough if it just feels like, oh gosh, you know, love poetry is not my thing.
Right.
And so that can get a little bit tedious, maybe reading all of the imagery again and again. And but also I think it's a tough subject for a lot of us for different reasons. And so the response to, you know, the written responses and everything have been really positive, but a lot of women are struggling going through it, but what I love is that they're reading it.
Yeah, that's right.
You know,
yeah,
like we're struggling. Yeah. We're struggling together, and we're just like, you know what? And it's given us the opportunity to say, you know, we struggled through this too.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there were times where when we were reading Song of Songs, and it'll happen, you know, with as we work through Isaiah, where we'll just go, guys, what have we done?
Yeah.
But I mean, it's God's word. Yeah. And so we're supposed to read it. Mm-hmm. And so it's just so
And listen, when you made me read
that.
Paul, I struggle. Because Paul and I are not besties.
That's right.
And I struggle through Paul's stuff too sometimes.
You're going to join us for the summer stuff.
I like Peter.
Peter's your buddy.
Are we doing Paul all summer?
We're doing Romans.
I will read it. And after doing Beth Moore's Entrusted, through 2 Timothy, mm-hmm. Paul really softened to
You know what? I think that was actually a news bulletin. We have not announced our summer study yet.
Oh my gosh.
So that just happened.
Hi, guys. Yeah.
You heard it here first, folks.
So Rachel also does.
I'm also not great at speechy. No.
Speechy.
No, that's what she does. She moonlights as cartoon character voices.
Oh, well, certainly. Uh-huh.
I do.
Her old scratch voice is really to be
admired. Just wait. It'll come.
She's perfecting it.
Okay, so here's what we did for Lent. I kind of set out to the universe, ask us questions. And so we just probably need to dive into those or we're going to be here for 6 hours. But so let's start by, there are people who do not know what Lent is.
Yeah.
So let's start by like defining Lent and then we'll get rolling on the questions.
Amanda's going to take that one.
Amanda Bible Williams.
Well, hi everybody. You can just call me Amanda. It's fine. So Lent is part of the church calendar. The church calendar is, it is a calendar which is structured, not by, you know, seasons in nature, but around seasons in the life of a believer. And so, you know, you have Advent leading up to the birth of Christ, and then Lent leads up to the death and resurrection of Christ and Easter Sunday. And so
does it start at the end of Christmas, at the end of the 12 days of Christmas? No, there's a window.
No, there's a window.
There are some ordinary days. That's actually what they're called, ordinary time.
Mm-hmm. And it's and those don't mean, you know, just like bummer days, like plain days. It just means normal days.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, like counting the normal days of the calendar. Mm-hmm. So Lent starts, and I always get confused. Seven starts on Ash Wednesday, seven Sundays before Easter.
Yes,
is that right?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's long. That's what we know.
Right.
And and we might sound a little bit new to Lent because, save for the last, you know, 3 to 4 years, we are new to Lent. And so we are very much, we have found that adopting the rhythm of the church calendar and allowing it to sort of direct our gaze. So, you know, in the way that Advent prepares you for the birth of Christ, Lent is just like a really long look at the cross and the resurrection.
Yeah.
And so it is, it's very reflective. Mm-hmm. It's very, it's been observed in different ways over the years. It goes way, way, way back to like the Council of Nicaea.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Like,
when did it start? Because that's one of the questions that came in. Let me tell you who it's from J. Markfeld. She said, I've always wondered where in the Bible we get the inspiration for Lent.
Mm, right. Mm-hmm. And that actually, she words that really accurately because Lent itself is not in the Bible. Mm-hmm. But it was something that the early church developed as they were, you know, kind of developing this church calendar. it is something that they created. So it's created by man. It is not mandated by God.
Right.
But
I feel super important to say.
It is.
You're not doing wrong by not observing Lent.
Right. You don't have to observe Lent. Mm-mm. Right.
And that's something that we actually say in one of the introductory pieces that you'll read in the study book and on the site, is that we are free to observe or to not observe Lent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is very, I think Lent is perhaps the most personal of the seasons on the church calendar.
It feels that way to me, too.
It's very personal. And so we would not dare look at you and say you must observe Lent.
Right.
Like, that is not what we are here to do. But we have found, and the She Reads Truth community has found, that by slowing our pace for those, this year it's 47 days, right?
Until it always starts on Wednesday.
So it's always the same length. So it's 40 days plus 7 Sundays, which are feast days. So basically, in the church calendar, it is.
I like that you just say that in passing. Which are feast days?
Yeah. Okay.
Wait
a minute. Is that the day I could have chocolate and Coke?
Feast days.
That's what Annie, that seventh grade Annie, would have said.
That is right.
Yeah.
So
that is right.
There are many ways to observe it, but a traditional way of observing it is to fast from something or to add on spiritual disciplines. So either
or both.
So maybe to fast from, you know, the Coke ices is a great example.
For some people, I don't know who.
To fast from a delight or something that you, that
not
is
not something
like,
that's wrong. That's not the point. We're not
really fasting from sin. Although if that's what the Lord tells
you, nice?
If the Lord tells you that's what you're to do, then yes.
But this is not an old snatch.
There's a difference though. I mean, because we repent from sin.
Yeah.
We don't fast. We repent and turn
away.
180 degrees away from the sin, not to turn back. Right. We hate and forsake our sin.
Right.
But with Lent, or with this like idea of like giving something up, it's just giving up, like Amanda said, like a delight. Something to refocus, like to refind our delight in Jesus.
Mm,
so it's a very different thing, sin and Coke ices.
Sure.
They're different.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Thank you. I'm glad to hear that.
Well,
it's for some of us.
If you really want to dig in.
We might need to get into the heart of it.
Yeah.
The heart
of it. But that's between
people,
you and the Holy Spirit.
Right. Yeah, because that is a question that I want us to get to after we do this, is like, how do you decide, Sarah Buchanan said, how do you decide what to give up and what to add in?
Mm-hmm. I want to get to that.
Yeah,
and so it also, in speaking of fasting, you know, it's traditionally has been seen by some as a season of sort of self-denial, where you are demonstrating, you know, death to the self as Christ died on the cross. And so because the scripture tells us that we, that our sinful selves are put to death with him, right? And and risen raised to new life. So it's sort of just a very practical, tangible way of telling old Scratch where his place is.
Come on, that's right. Get out of here, Scratch.
So I think now for... You know, there are a lot of ways that you can, I think, twist that to make it a legalistic thing where it is about the giving up of the thing instead of the leaning really, really hard into Jesus and the gospel and what he did on the cross.
I mean, would you say it's like for me, my experience, I grew up Methodist, so I know that, and this is something I want y'all to answer, traditionally, Lent is a Catholic observation. Right, season that they observe. But I grew up Methodist, and Methodists do Lent as well.
Right.
And we were taught, I mean, you know, as a middle schooler, I was going, okay, I won't drink Coke, and I won't do this, and whatever, but it's about making space.
Right.
And it's just about removing something or adding something that gives you space to focus more intently. It just gets quieter. It's just meant to be quieter.
I think, you know, I was thinking about Lent this morning, and how for me, I think, you know, this is why I say it's a very personal thing, because I think that we could each kind of give sort of our interpretation of what that means. And that's okay, because it is not, you know, prescribed
in
Scripture.
In the Bible. Right.
And so for me, I feel like my, you know, throughout the year and over time, there are these sort of... monuments of self that stack up piece by piece. So like my pride, my expectations, my maybe bitterness and resentment, sin for sure, other types of sin. And I think that Lent for me is a time when I really
give the Lord permission to just knock all that down and to just say, to admit to myself and to the Lord what my idols are, where I've been looking to, where I've been looking for my delight and for my sustenance and for my peace and my, you know, all those things, joy, and to reorient myself, my heart, my life, my actions around the cross and resurrection of Christ.
Yeah.
And I love that, Amanda, because I think, you know, it's absolutely accurate that Lent, the season of Lent, is not prescribed in the Bible. It's not even described in the Bible. But what is described and prescribed in the Bible is repentance, is that, like, turning to Christ, is that, like, even like that removing ourselves, you know. Jesus went away and he removed himself for prayer, for the purposes of prayer and drawing near to the Father. And that was descriptive, but I believe also prescriptive. And so while we, you know, we say like, hey, don't worry, Lent is not something you have to do, but something that we do have to do. As Christians,
I got you.
Is repent, is turn away and I mean, the sackcloth and ashes, it's something we joke about. And I mean, I sometimes say in jest, you know, sackcloth and ashes. But the reality is, I think the longer, and Lent is long. But it gives us this
It's so long. You don't think it's long until day 18.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, I'm not halfway through. I got it. Cool.
Yeah. I got it. Cool. Everybody be cool.
But like the longer you get into, you know, repenting, becoming aware, Lord, show me my sin. Lord, show me how far I am from you. The length is so good because it gives us the long amount of time needed to become aware of our need for Christ. And at the very end, he meets the need.
And, you know, in the girl that asked about the inspiration in scripture. So Jesus being tempted in the wilderness and also just the Israelites wandering in the wilderness and depending on the Lord daily for their sustenance and for their survival.
Over and over again in the Bible. I mean, it's Noah and the flood. It's the Israelites. It's, you know.
So I think it's important to remember that even though, like as Rachel said, Lent is not in scripture per se, the church founders didn't come up with it willy-nilly. Like, they weren't just like, hey, let's do this thing. It's going to be really great. Like, there was thought. There's thought and intention, and there's purpose behind it. And so I think that just as one doesn't have to apologize for not participating, like, if that's not your thing, I also don't think that as a believer that you have to, you know, you have to apologize for participating. You know, it's, it's either way is acceptable, and it really just depends on what the Lord is asking of you. And if this is, you know, if this is what's going on in your relationship with him. And so, but I will say that, that, you know, it's not something that I think we've ever gotten to the end of and thought, wow, I sure regret that.
I mean, in my whole life, I've never gone, man, I wish I wouldn't have observed Lent.
And I mean, honestly, for, you know, as we're here talking about the She Reads Truth community, we can say, you know, come and join us for Lent, or if you'd rather, come join us for the book of Isaiah. I mean, really, whatever you want to call it, come read the Bible with us. Come see what the Lord has to say through the prophet Isaiah.
And here's what happens. I'm going to read just a little bit of truth here to you guys. In Acts 3, I'm going to start in verse 17. He says, "And now, brothers and sisters, I know that you acted in ignorance, just as your leaders also did. In this way, God fulfilled what he had predicted through all the prophets, that the Messiah would suffer. Therefore, repent and turn back so that your sins may be wiped out, that seasons of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus, who has been appointed for you as the Messiah." And so that's what happens when we spend those seasons in repentance. They can be heavy, long, even kind of dark in a sense, where we're really looking face to face at our sin and our shortcoming and our desperate, desperate need for a Savior. But, you know, as I believe it was, is it Robert McShane who said, you know, for every one look at yourself, take 10 looks at the cross. Because is, you know, only when we understand the depth of our sin can we understand the depth of his grace and like what Jesus actually did on the cross.
And I remember, Amanda, you telling me, man, maybe 2 years ago, you said, I don't know if you wrote it, but I assumed that you were telling me, But you were saying only do this if you're brave, but ask Jesus to show you your sin day after day, like commit to like a, maybe it's a 2 weeks, maybe it's 40 days, but like, if you ask Jesus to show you your sin, and I think Amanda, you said
that is so painful. Though.
Yeah. It's so painful.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to, I mean, you is careful what you wish for.
I mean, that's why, like you when you pray for patience, why?
But Amanda, I think you said you asked a friend to pray that for you too.
It was an assignment. I did write about it once. Mm-hmm. And, I think for Shears Truth a few years ago, but it was an assignment when I first came to Nashville and I was working with the youth group at Christ Community Church, and we were sort of going through a discipleship program as we were going through one as the interns, and then we were leading kids in our little discipleship groups. Yeah. But one of the assignments we were given was to pray for 2 weeks, every day for 2 weeks, that God would reveal our sin, but that we would ask two people to pray that for us as well. Mm-hmm. So I asked my mom and then my friend, Darylyn, who was also going through this with the program with me. They prayed every day that God would reveal to Amanda her sin. Mm-hmm. And as I was praying that too, and he did. I'm just, if you pray that prayer, he will answer that prayer. But, but those seasons of refreshing.
Yeah, it's for a purpose. You're not just doing it so that you see how terrible you are. It's for a purpose.
But imagine if for 2 weeks you ask the Lord to show you your sin, and then on that last day, let's say it's Easter Sunday. Right. I mean, like, what a different, it's not about, like, Easter baskets and cute hats and gloves. No. It's such a, like, it is a day that you dance.
Yeah.
You dance.
I think that's a really good segue into who asked the question about when it's, about giving things up and when that's tough. Is that the question you
Yeah, that is a question. Let me look for it. Her name is OHX Beloved. She said, I have a question. As a relative newbie to Lent, how do you stay strong when things get hard and you're tempted to give in to what you're supposed to be giving up?
I mean, that's the question, right? Like, that is part of that practice, is that you know it will be hard, that you will be tempted. And I think, you know, I mean, that's just the thing. The thing is there's not an answer to that. The answer is only to turn to Jesus over and over again.
Here's what I like about that. I like the word practice, because I think that's what fasting is. I think it's practice, because there will come times where we are truly, things are removed from us without our say, right? But if we practice in whatever it is, this giving up and this, like, no, I want this, but I'm going to turn back to Jesus. For that practice of, like, Lord, help me to rely on you. Help me to need you more than anything. It becomes a practice and an exercise, like, for our spiritual muscles, so that when the testing of our faith comes, the true testing, the inescapable testing, we have those spiritual muscles to go, no, Lord, we've done this. We've been here. Yeah. We've worked these muscles. Yeah. I know just how to lean on you.
Do you know what's funny is the Lord and I are walking through something just like that right now, where he's asking me to believe him. And every time I feel like, I don't know if I can do it another day, I go, this is, and I have to say to myself, you're getting stronger. You're building your belief muscles. You know what the word says. You do not need a sign. You do not need a cloud. You do not need something in the mail. You just have to work out your muscles. This is another day you get to work out. So what do you believe about God? And my journal, y'all should see, if you want to read it later, we can. My journal the last couple of days, like, I believe that God is fill in the blank. Because I'm just working out. It's just like going to the gym. I am just getting my belief muscle stronger. And that's what Lent does for me too, is it just strengthens us because we are working out, not because we're sitting there and just in. But that's not how the gym works either. The gym doesn't work by showing up and sitting by the machines.
I wish.
The gym, right. Right.
And better still, I want it to work when I think about going to the gym.
When you're driving home, when you're commuting home.
I want to say the word gym.
Right. But it's same spiritual muscle. And no one wants to.
But that's
do
the
that.
Thing. Like, we don't actually become closer to God by giving up Coke ICs.
Right.
That the simple act, if you did it perfectly for 40 days, just gave up my Coke, like, whatever.
That's a really hard example, y'all.
You don't become, like, you don't become closer to God.
That's
It's the act of, like, turning to him, needing him. Like, I hope it's hard.
It's in that place where you're longing for the thing that you have given up, or the thing you're fasting from, that you go, Why do I want that so bad?
What right. is my, like, where's my desire? Like, yeah. what if yep. I desired you this much?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that that one of
we
the
We can
keys,
give another example other than Coke.
I no, you can do it.
I really like
people
it.
People get it. I know. People
I really
know.
I like it. I might fast from that. I haven't had one in years, but I'm going to.
Listen. If only we could pick things that we didn't participate in.
Right. I think that
fasting
one,
from France.
That's a good example. I think the key is, it's not about the thing that you gave up. It's always about Jesus and the mm-hmm. cross mm-hmm. and the resurrection. And so it is not, you know, the thing is just a reminder.
Yeah.
And so I am abstaining from social media for 40 days because when I go to pick up my phone and push my Instagram app, I'm going to remember, wait, I'm not doing that. Wait, why am I not doing that? I'm not doing that because. And yeah. so mm-hmm. it's just this, it's exactly that, just this practice, this posture of turning toward the gospel, mm-hmm. turning away from self, mm-hmm. because that is not my natural inclination. Mm-hmm. You know, those monuments of self build up because I give it play in my life mm-hmm. and I yeah. say, sure, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and have that prideful thought, and I'm mm-hmm. going to nurse it all day.
Yeah.
And so it like, and so there, that there's that. And then tomorrow I might put just a little bit of like self-pity on top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the next day I might put this, and it can be subtle. And so I think that, you know, part of Lent is taking, remembering, like taking something small,
right?
Like a Coke Icy.
Thank you.
And allowing it to represent something larger, so that I can look at the things that should be large and be that I've been treating as small things. You know, like sure. I need to. A lot of things in my life are reversed. You know, I look at the small things and think, oh, those are the things that matter. Mm. A whole, like your opinion of me, that's the big thing in my life right now. Yeah. No, it's yeah. not.
Right.
That's a small thing. Here, let's remember what the big thing it yeah. really is.
So a couple of people, let's zoom back a little bit again. There's probably four questions that are about why the Catholic Church is always celebrating Lent, but the Evangelical Church, the Protestant Church, is just coming around to it. So quite like Montana Moxie, many young Christians are incorporating the church calendar, the liturgy, traditional practices, even though they attend non-denominational churches that don't practice or promote mm-hmm. these traditions. Why do you think that's interesting to young evangelicals? And how come, Melissa Crawford says, how come Lent isn't more talked about among other denominations? Vanessa says, I know how important Lent is to the Catholic Church, but what does it bring to Christians in general? Mm-hmm. Which I feel like we've kind of hit on. But what is that? Talk about that.
I think that something that is attractive to us, to millennials, to just really any of us these days, it feels like we desire that rhythm that maybe we've stepped out of or not understood for a while. And mm-hmm. I think that that's something that the church calendar brings, that, you know, the Israelites had. They had these festivals, they had these feasts, and they had these rhythms, these several times a year. Yeah. They had these things that they did to remind them to kind of walk out their faith.
Right.
And, you know, while we don't necessarily like celebrate the Feast of Purim or Feast of Tabernacles, we celebrate Pentecost, some of us, or yeah. not, but what I think attracts a lot of people, whether they are Protestant or Catholic, you know, they want the rhythm. They want yeah. that, like, that forced rhythm, almost.
It is a forced rhythm, mm-hmm. right?
And, you know, to go like, oh, no, we're pausing right now. And mm-hmm. we're going to think about mm-hmm. the thing that probably if I didn't have to, I wouldn't think about all year. Yeah. But, nope, we're doing this right now. And then, you know, we get into, you know, Advent again.
Yeah.
And
what happens between Lent and Advent? Is it ordinary days or is there something else?
No, there are things.
There's a couple. I mean, but those are the two big
those
ones,
are the
right?
Biggies,
Lent
yeah.
and Advent are the two ones that kind of universally the church has celebrated mm-hmm. or started to celebrate.
Yeah. Right. And then yeah. Pentecost.
I mean, Pentecost. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And Christmas Day, the Christmas tide, mm-hmm. as our friend right. Preston Yancey calls mm-hmm. it. He taught me that.
Right. Like I've thought about Preston. I can't really talk about the church calendar without thinking about Preston. I'm like, oh, I hope he's not listening, and I'll reveal how much I still have to learn about the church calendar.
Right, right, right.
But it's, I think a word that I keep coming back to lately and just in my personal relationship with Scripture is tethered. Mm-hmm. I want to remain tethered to God's word. Mm-hmm. I want that to be the thing that doesn't move and that I don't move from it, that I don't become disconnected. Mm-hmm. I think there's something about the church calendar and some of these old traditions yeah. of the church that go back to, you know, like Lent, to the Council of Nicaea in like 300 something. Sure. I mean, like, that's a long time ago, you guys. And so to be tethered to the church that has gone before us, mm-hmm. and to those traditions, and to those that will come after us, and just the, you know, in the way that so many women around the world find comfort in reading She Reads Truth, because if you're reading along with the community reading plan, you know that, you know, today we all read from Song of Songs chapter whatever six it was, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. Then when we start to read Isaiah, to know that that many, you know, hundreds of thousands of women are reading yeah. Isaiah at the same
and
time.
Men now.
And men. Yeah. And men. And
there's a unity to that.
There yeah. is. Mm-hmm. And I think that it is a reminder of the global church, the church across time. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, for me, I can only say why I am interested in Lent and drawn yeah. to Lent, like, to answer her question, and what I've observed in the She Reads Truth community. But that is, in a world where it feels like anything goes a lot of times, you know, and we can sort of create our own truth, I think that there is so much value in being tethered to God's word, but also to, you know, reach out on either side of us and link arms with the church.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And to say, you know, we are, as a church with a capital C, going yeah. to spend the next 7 weeks looking toward the cross, mm-hmm. and remembering who Jesus is, why he had to die, remembering my sin, yeah. and then, you know, acknowledging and understanding the fullness of his victory over yeah. sin and death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you think of it that way, I'm like, I don't know, 7 weeks enough? Maybe not. Because it's a lot. It's a lot of ground to cover, and yeah. it's a lot.
I like thinking about the victory over sin. So at our yeah. church, we have, I don't know, maybe not every church does this, but there are a couple of churches here in Franklin that have, you know, whether it's a rug or a hand drawing or actual like a mosaic tile of a dragon right outside the church steps. And especially on Easter Sunday. So if it's Easter Sunday, they bring out a giant carpet that's a dragon, and we stomp the dragon on our way out on Easter
great?
Sunday.
That is really cool.
I mean, we stomp Old Scratch.
Old Scratch yeah. is stomping on
because
Easter Sunday.
Because there is victory. Yeah. There is just like, it is like, I mean, just the way we like wave our palm branches, like our arms are going to fall off on Palm
yeah.
Sunday. But
yeah.
coming back and just going like, no, he conquered death. He conquered the grave for every yeah. one of us.
And man, y'all should have seen me in the car today. I was having a yeah. moment with Jesus, and I was like, you always win. Yeah. You always win. Mm-hmm. You always win. You always win. I'm reminding you, because there's a situation, you need to win.
Yeah.
And you always win. You know?
Yeah. You're a winner.
You're a winner, Lord. You're a winner. Okay, Amanda, you said something interesting. Rachel, I would love for you to speak into this. Liz texted in and said, my pastor, Baptist pastor, doesn't believe in participating in Lent and said it was wrong. I happen, she says, to find it an excellent way to refocus and contemplate Jesus' sacrifice. What do you think? Mm-hmm. So what, I mean, we want to hold hands with the church, but mm-hmm. there's portions of the church that say Lent is wrong.
I imagine that there's got to be more to that conversation.
Sure.
Like, first of yeah. all, like, I think with that pastor, like, I don't imagine that he's just like, it's wrong and I'm not going to talk about it.
Yeah,
so I'm sure
wrong.
He has really like
yeah.
thoughtful reasons for maybe what is wrong about it, or maybe that it's, so I'm going to give like a first start with the blanket of grace of like, I
yes.
don't know the whole situation there. But I think what is right is all of those things that we talked about at the beginning of this mm-hmm. thing. So like we said, yes, Lent isn't outlined in the Bible as this is what the church must do,
mm-hmm.
but the spirit, heart, and actions of Lent are.
Right.
It are scriptural. And so whether you choose to say I'm observing Lent, or I'm reading my Bible and I'm seeking the Lord and I'm repenting of my sin and asking him to show me my sin,
yeah.
It becomes a little semantical for me,
yeah.
I think. And I would invite her to not let anyone tell her not to repent.
Mm.
I mean, not let anyone tell her not, and this isn't like a, hey, you know, I cover this in a, like, I don't know the whole situation there.
Yeah.
But if anyone ever tells you that you don't need to repent, then they're probably not teaching you from Scripture.
Yeah. And, you know, there could be this language of what someone assumes Lent looks like are these 12 things.
Well, and it might we don't be fasting. Do that. Yeah, no, right. It might be like, here are the reasons that fasting have, you know, become something that it shouldn't be. And yeah, that's totally wrong. Like, I think there are a lot of things about Lent that probably Jesus might, you know, look at and go,
Kokaises. Jesus is like, seriously, Dales? Really? Okay. We're talking about Kokaises?
All right. Yeah, you know, like, I think that there are things that he would look at and just go, that is not the spirit of what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, like, that's something that, man, I just think, like, that's kind of why I like that we're starting Lent 2 days before Lent starts.
Yeah,
because it gives us those 2 days to go, all right, Lord, I know that Wednesday's coming, and I know kind of how I am going to choose to observe Ash Wednesday even. And that's another liturgical thing.
Yeah.
Right?
I haven't been going to Ash Wednesday services historically, but I want to.
It gives us these 2 days to kind of go, like, Lord, how are we, you and I? Mm-hmm. The relationship here is between me and my Creator,
right?
Me and my Savior, and so, like, I want to talk to the Lord about how He's asking me to observe Lent,
right?
And I mean, Ash Wednesday is a really fun conversation to have, honestly, because I haven't been to a lot of Ash Wednesday services, but one time, 3 years ago, I was downtown Franklin, and there was a priest on the street, and a couple of priests on the street, I think from the Methodist Church. And they said, because Jesus died so publicly, you know, this is something we can do in public as well.
Oh, that's cool.
And so he was, you know, and so I stood and talked with the priest for a long time. And, you know, they put the ashen cross on your forehead and, you know, talk about, you know, from dust you came and to dust you will return, or remember that you are dust is another thing that they'll say.
Yeah.
But it's a moment of
that's
going,
what I can still, I mean, I still feel like I'm in middle school or high school going, like, from dust you came and from dust you tower strength. I mean, so when we think about the church, is it Catholics, Lutherans, Methodists who add it to their normal calendar and everybody else is kind of adopting it?
I was reading some articles about this week, and there's an article that Trevin Wax, he's the Bible publisher at B&H, he wrote for Gospel Coalition almost 3 years ago, and it was on the subject of why are evangelicals embracing Lent again and some rejecting it. And so he said a couple of things that I think we've tried to say a little less eloquently here that I'm just going to read this short paragraph. Some younger evangelicals appreciate Lent as an opportunity to implement a spiritual discipline that has a long history within various wings of Christianity. Catholic, Orthodox, and many Protestants observe this time of reflection. Other evangelicals believe Lent has potential of leading us back into the bondage of perpetual penitence and rituals common to Catholicism, to which the Reformers rightly reacted. So some say it's a historical practice with spiritual benefits. Others say evangelicals have historically rejected it because of its potential excesses.
And I wonder if that's maybe what her pastor was
potential
kind of going
excesses.
Like, this is why it's dangerous.
Like, don't diet because this isn't a diet.
Right.
Yeah. And also, Lent is not your savior.
No.
You know, fasting is not your savior.
Mm-mm. Yeah. But gosh, can it fall into that? It
everything
did.
I can. It's dangerous.
Well, listen. Yeah. I needed you to quit preaching.
Sorry.
On the podcast, Amanda Bobble Williams, you are bringing a word. Yeah.
Mine.
Everything can. Yeah. Because I remember conversations with people where Lent was, okay, I'm going to exercise every day and I'm going to only eat fruits and vegetables and meat, and
it's
I'm going to lose 20 pounds. It's a self-help season.
And improve myself.
It's a season of self-improvement. And that's not the goal.
And that's what I think about, like, if Jesus were to examine the way we handle Lent, are we handling it in a way to, like, I'm going to fast and also lose a couple of pounds?
Oh, right. I'm so bad about multi-purposing spiritual disciplines. I am a monster. Jesus, show me my sin. You just did.
Yeah.
That's actually, I did not give up anything for Lent last year because I could not separate it from my desire to lose weight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I thought, or my desire to, you know, be like my friends who are giving up social media, or be like, I was like, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm just going to just stare straight at the cross. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start there.
Yeah.
I'm going to fast from looking to the left or the right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, I think that it is a very personal thing. And I think that we definitely need to resist the temptation to assess other people's Lent situation.
I think that's what my Lent situation.
Right.
Yeah. But I think that's what, like, hopefully, I really hope that what she reads truth and he reads truth is inviting the world to this season, this Lenten season, but whatever it is, you know, starting next week, we're inviting men and women to read through the book of Isaiah, which is an incredible book.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, talk about it for a minute. I mean, so thrilled.
It is.
It's so hard to read. Let's be straight up. Here's it's so reality. Hard to read.
I will tell you,
Annie. Because it's all prophecy.
So the first day, Wednesday.
Yeah.
Ash Wednesday. I'm supposed to be writing. And I was supposed to have turned this in.
I was about to say, I know the deadlines, girl. You have long past your deadline.
She's in trouble.
I am in trouble. So I
also, she's the boss.
Yeah. So here's the deal. I agree. True. Yeah.
Y'all get to be late. I don't.
Here's the thing about this. And there are many things. So I've been assigned Isaiah chapter 1 and chapter 2, and I read my reading, you know, every morning for about a week and a half, and I was just like, okay, like, I just want to meditate on this, I want to get it right, sure. Like, I just want to spend time, Lord, what are you showing me here? But the reality is, you guys, Isaiah is a hard book, and I am yet to write my piece. Okay, so there's one line from chapter 1, verse 22, and it's not even the whole verse, but God is talking to Isaiah, calling them the unfaithful city. And he says to them, your silver has become dross.
Oh, wow.
And I feel like I haven't been able to get past that line. And just like, Lord, I need to sit in that conviction before I can ever even put a pen to paper.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, so often we like think about in scripture, like, you know, we talk about like our gold to refine and how we go through the fire and we come out as gold because Jesus, you know, the refiner's fire. But he was saying to Israel, you went through the fire, and what you were truly made of was dross.
Ugh. And dross is what?
And dross is like the crud that was left. Yeah. Like there was no silver to be found.
There was nothing good.
It's the stuff that blows away.
Yeah.
So what you were made of, it's blowing away.
And we can, because we've been grafted in.
Yeah.
We can read the whole Bible is for us.
Yeah.
So we as Gentiles, Protestants, Catholics, we can anything that the Bible says is for us.
Can you believe that? Right. So Isaiah chapter 1 verse 22. Because we are grafted in is good news.
Yeah.
So like, how is that? And like, that's, I want to look at that and go like, Lord, how is that good news?
Yeah.
And what you're saying about Israel, is that something that you're speaking to me today with your living and active word?
Right.
Lord, what would it look like if, you know, what would cause me to get to a place where my silver would be dross or where is it now? And Lord, refine it, find like only like your refiner's fire can make it pure and worthy and only you are worthy. All that to say, bless us, Isaiah is an intense book. There's a lot of judgment in Isaiah, and there's a lot of hope. And there's a lot of something that's really neat about the book of Isaiah. There are a lot of unique things. The word salvation is used 30 times in the book of Isaiah.
Okay.
All the other prophets combined use the word salvation 10 times.
Really?
Yeah. So like there's a heavy salvation theme in Isaiah. Another thing that's really great is that it actually covers the whole breadth of Jesus' life. It covers prophecies of his birth, his death, his ministry, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension. So like all of this is covered in Isaiah, which is, you know, I don't remember, is it 400? No, it's more than 400 years.
From start to finish?
No.
Sorry.
Before Jesus' life. I think 1,000 years. Don't quote me on that, guys.
I think we landed around 700.
Okay.
Yeah. It's debatable, as is much.
As is,
That is, actually, there's a page in the study book where we kind of address some of these fun facts about Isaiah.
Yeah.
And we can still order the study book, right?
Yeah.
This is Thursday, but the week before. Yeah. So we can still order the study book.
And we'll ship it to you as quick as we can. The good news is Lent is long.
Yeah.
So you'll be good.
So we still have plenty of she books, he books,
we
and
do.
kid cards.
We do have Kids Read Truth cards. The She Reads Truth books we still have as of recording.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right. Go ahead, Amanda. Sorry. I just wanted to check on that.
But what Rachel said is right. Like it, you get this, a sense of the whole message of scripture in Isaiah, a sense of it. You know, it's obviously not all of scripture, but there is all of that, that judgment and just like a look at, you know, Israel's sin.
Yeah.
And then in rebellion and then, you know, God saying judgment is coming. Like, I, you know, I'm a holy God. I'm not going to ignore this kind of thing. But then the promise of a Savior.
Yeah.
And so, and isn't that what Scripture is? I mean, you see rebellion over and over and over of God's people, you know, turning away from God and God pursuing, and then Christ taking our judgment and providing salvation. And so in that way, it's really kind of a perfect book to read through for Lent, because in the same sense that Lent feels so long and gosh, I'm becoming so ever aware of my sin, but that is for a purpose. That is so that we understand the salvation. We cannot understand the fullness of the salvation and the need for it if we don't see both our sin and also what could have been, you know, the judgment that was due us.
Right. That's good.
Yeah. And like Ray said, I mean, it's just, it's super interesting. Isaiah's name means the Lord saves itself. And then he uses the word salvation over and over. And it's quoted, it's the most quoted book. It's the most quoted Old Testament book in the New Testament. So the New Testament writers quote the prophet Isaiah more than any other.
Okay, that's exactly what I wanted y'all to talk about next, because, you know, a couple weeks ago there was a Beth Moore taught a bunch of young women about, and she one of the things she said about like how to use your voice well. One of the things she said is read Matthew to Revelation as many times as you can in your lifetime. I love that. I totally agree. Also, I'm an OT lover. I love the Old Testament. So why do we need both? Why are we spending Lent, the season leading up to the resurrection, the death and resurrection of Christ in the Old Testament?
I think something I love about
listen, I love the OT, so y'all are always going to have me on that.
Something really cool to me about the Old Testament is because it's God talking to his people. Like, I mean, directly, you know, whether it be directly or through prophets or through, let's say, through Moses or that kind of, like, there's just so much of him just, you know, interacting with his people, prophesying through his prophets to his people in a way, just in such a unique way and in such a formative way that, like, on one hand, like, it teaches us what's happening, but it teaches us so much about God's character. We learn God's character in the Old Testament. And I think that is one of the most beautiful things to actually know who he is. Who are we serving? How does he react to us? How does he love us in spite of us? There's so much to learn about God's character in the Old Testament.
I think another reason is because Jesus read the Old Testament, like Jesus knew Scripture,
and man, Jesus when he stands quoted up and Scripture. Reads Isaiah 61. I want to see that so bad. I want to watch that back on video when we get to heaven. When he gets them to hand him the scroll, and he gets—I assume they get to pick which one. I don't know, or he just hands him one, and he just rips it open in front of everybody and says, "You know, I have been sent here to set the captives free." And then closes it and sits down and says, "That's been fulfilled in your presence."
Come on, right? And that, I think, is the other thing that I would say is that...
Sorry for blowing into the mic.
No, you have to. I love it. I read that so... I read that in Lazarus right now so much. Those two stories of Jesus sitting down and going... Because everyone's eyes, it says everyone's eyes were fixed on him. And it's like, that's the thing. When Jesus sets captives free, all the eyes are fixed on him. Right?
You know, this... The New Testament is a marvel in itself, right? And the stories that it contains, and it's just, I mean, Jesus and all his glory and just who is this man? And he's turning everything upside down and everything we thought we knew. But when you put that in context of the Old Testament, and it's, this isn't, I mean, he's the Savior who you know, is the God incarnate, who did live a sinless life on earth, who did die, who was raised from the dead, who did appear to his disciples and ascended to heaven. But he is also the one that was foretold, you know, from hundreds of years before through the prophets. So this, I think what the Old Testament does in reading the Old Testament, it just helps us to take that, to just back up several thousand feet and say, this was not, you know, God's plan B, as they say. Like, this was not that God planned from the beginning of time to send a Savior, to save his people from his sins. And so, you know, Jesus was not the afterthought after all the rebellion or whatever. Like Jesus, it was from the foundations of the earth.
He wasn't the salve that they had, like, oh,
right.
We need
he wasn't
salt.
Like, oh, we've got a, yeah. We have a leak. Somebody fix it.
Right. Yeah. And so the faithfulness that Rachel talked about that we see over and over and over again in the Old Testament, and God's refusal to leave Israel alone and his people alone.
Aren't you so grateful? I'm so grateful because I say the Lord all the time, like, am I the worst Israelite you've ever dealt with?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because I forget as soon as he does. Mm-hmm. I forget as soon as he does.
You and Paul.
Right.
Chief
sinner.
Jeez. Of course. You set yourself up. But it's, you know, we see the culmination of that in Jesus and in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like
you can't it would enjoy be like the full watching crescendo.
The, right. Like watching the climax of a movie without understanding the characters and the backstory.
Yeah.
Like you're going to, you might
like
get it.
Reading the last Harry Potter book.
Right. Like you
I can enjoy
it. I get it, but you don't really, like, you don't get all the layers, and you don't understand the depth of it all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we say all the time. You know, just we'll be studying something in the Sherry's Truth office, and Russ Ramsey, who works with us, he said twice yesterday when we were working, and we were communicating over Slack, this, like, you know Slack.
That's where our list of questions is stored on Slack.
Yeah. Nice. But he was just like, the Bible's so cool.
It's so
I just
cool.
love the Bible. And, like, those are the things that we regularly all say to each other because it's our job to just sort of mine the depth of that.
Yeah.
And we're constantly learning.
Yeah.
And so just we regularly have those moments where we just look at each other and go, this is crazy. Like, you know, just the Bible is really cool. That's right. To quote Russ Ramsey.
That's right. That's right.
Rebecca
He's also a prolific author, but he says better
cool.
things
better
than
things
the Bible's cool. But that's very true.
But sometimes you can't. You the simplest thing is the right thing.
That's
because,
right.
Because like I don't know what else to say. Like,
yeah, that's right.
I love the Bible.
I do
people.
Too. I know.
Yeah.
What were we about to say, Ray?
Well, I was just how cool the Bible is. And Rebecca, one of our writers, was in my office last night, and we were also just talking about how tough it has been to write for the book. For the Isaiah study.
Yeah.
And she was like, I'm just supposed to write about how, you know, worthiness, you know, like, so my chapters are about, you know, that Israel is unworthy and on and on. And I just said, like, I think my heart just skipped a beat. I was just like, it just makes me think of that scene in Revelation, that scene where, like, they're holding the scrolls and they're looking around and saying, who is worthy to open the scrolls? Not who's capable, who could we get to do this? Who's got the right key? But, like, who is worthy?
Nice.
And it's like, it's like the crowd parts, and then there is Jesus, and I think he's shaped like a lamb, and it's just like the descriptive scene is beautiful. And they just say, like, glory and honor to the one. Like, he is worthy.
Yeah.
And so, like, Isaiah makes us feel anxious anticipation for the Lamb that comes in the form of, you know, Jesus in his body and his death. And he's the Lamb of sacrifice, right? He is that prophet, priest, and king, like we talked about in Advent. But then, like, in Revelation, like, he's worthy to open the scrolls and to, like, make everything come full circle. And to unlock everything that needs to be unlocked, that we can live in the presence of our Maker.
Yeah.
Jesus wins. So, like, who is worthy? It's not us.
Yeah.
We're, like, that's the spoiler alert for the Sherry's Truth Isaiah study.
Right. We're not worthy. Yeah.
But somebody who is worthy is coming and has come and will come again.
Yeah.
Thanks be to God.
That's right. And, you know, as we observe Lent, if we just sit in the unworthiness and we don't acknowledge the one who is worthy and that he has given his worthiness to us by his death and resurrection, then you know, we can't do that. And that's where I, you know, that's why I think there is some warning that kind of comes with the observance of Lent, that, like, it is not to be taken lightly. And it has to be taken with the fullness of the scripture, so that we're not, you know, God's word doesn't leave us in our despair and leave us in our sin. God provides the Lamb and provides the Savior. And there is resurrection from death, and there is victory over sin and death. And so Lent is not just woe is me.
Right.
I am not worthy. But the woe is me, I am not worthy, is the road that we walk to see the one who's worthy.
Yeah, yeah.
And to get there. And so it's all about gazing toward the cross. But, you know, when you gaze to the cross, you know, that empty tomb is just past it. Mm-hmm. Like you can't, it doesn't stop there. But our debt was paid there fully, you know, and then the icing on the cake that
we stomped on old scratch.
We stomped on old scratch. I really want a rug with a dragon on it.
I know.
Yeah. Like, don't you think that should sort of be like your front door? Man, every time I walked in my house,
that's
right?
What I'm saying.
Yeah.
I want such a thing to beat him right now.
I mean,
I need a dragon. Can She Reach Truth make a dragon rug?
Like, maybe it's like by your bed, so every morning you wake up. Every morning you just go old scratch.
If anyone was going to forget how today was going to go,
yeah,
let me just stomp on old scratch one time to remind myself in the Lord and the enemy that every day I'm going to stomp on him.
Mm-hmm. I like saying old scratch because it reminds you, it's like he's powerful, but he's comparatively speaking,
it minimizes him.
Feeble man.
Yeah.
All he does is win.
Mm-hmm. Jesus wins.
I feel like that is an excellent way to seal up the happy.
Yeah.
No, I almost called it the happy hour, Annie.
Oh, I do love the happy hour. I do too. Jamie Ivey. This sounds fun.
But fun and happy go hand in hand.
I know. I love her. She's had me on. I'm having her on. She's awesome. Mm-hmm. Will one of you pray for us? Pray for Lent. Pray just that, especially because this is coming out the Thursday before Lent actually starts.
Yeah.
For people to have some time to reflect on what changes do I need to make in my life and for the next 40 days. We don't want people to diet. We don't want people to use this as a self-improvement season, though you will be better at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But that's about your spirit, not about your body.
It'll be you.
It'll be the whole, Jesus improvement. Mm-hmm. It'll be stomping on old scratch improvement. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm speaking not just for Annie. I think this feels like a thing, but it just feels like this next season really matters.
Yeah.
And that there's a lot of people, there's just a spinning a little bit of people, just some sort of like, something's happening here. Mm-hmm. And the people of the church, the women of She Reached Truth, the men of He Reached Truth, just kind of what the church is going through and going about.
Mm-hmm.
I think it could really matter.
Mm-hmm.
So I want us to choose wisely what we do.
Yeah,
and how we participate either in Lent as a season or in the Isaiah study as the next study for the she's and the he's.
Let's pray. Yeah. I'll pray. Okay. Father, we thank you, first of all, for Jesus, your son, and for the cross. We thank you. We cannot thank you enough. And right now we bow our heads in prayer on behalf of all of our brothers and sisters who are listening. We pray for them, Lord, as your Holy Spirit is already actively in relationship with them in one way or another. And Lord, as they are contemplating how they will act and move forward in pursuit of relationship with you, Father, I ask that you will soften hearts, that you will call men and women to you. As Amanda said, Lord, that you will tether the church to your word. Lord, your word is true. And that's not just something we say because it's catchy. Father, your word is the truth. It is permanent. It's not going anywhere. And a lot of stuff is going a lot of different places right now. And so, Father, I ask humbly that you tether the men and women of the church to your word, to you, in this season of remembering how faithful you, Jesus, were to walk to the cross, to come as the prophet Isaiah foretold, and to live and to die and to, Lord, to give everything for me and for Annie and for Amanda and for everyone that's listening and who's not listening. Father, we thank you for that, and we just ask that you invite your sons and daughters to you, that you invite them to the throne room where they will find the sweet presence of their Savior. Father, I ask that men and women will will join with you this season. And we thank you for your faithfulness. Amen. Amen.
Thank y'all. Man, I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. They are so smart. You can just tell when you listen to Rachel and Amanda how they have like poured their heart and soul into studying the Word and knowing the Word. Makes me really, really grateful that we as Christians today have the resource that She Reads Truth and He Reads Truth provide. So if you want to study Isaiah along with us, you can do it for free on shereadstruth.com or hereadstruth.com. You can also get it on the app on your phone. So there's a She Reads Truth and a He Reads Truth app. So you don't need the workbooks to go through the study. They're not forced to exist together. But if you want the workbooks, they are still available, as are the Kids Read Truth cards that are super awesome. So, and it is okay if you order late. If you're listening to this and Lent has already started, go ahead and order the booklet if you want to. Go ahead and jump in. It is 40 days. I promise we are not going to be too far without you. So just jump in. Whenever you're listening to this, jump into this study with us of Isaiah. I'm looking forward to it in that way that you would look forward to like a workout class where you like, you know, it's going to hurt, but it's going to be really good in the end. That is how I always feel about Lent. And that is true today. So I'm so grateful for the She Reads Truth girls for popping in. So again, shopshereadstruth.com is where you can get the booklets, and shereadstruth.com, hereadstruth.com are where you can go to download the plans and to follow along for free online. As always, in the background is our sweet friend Ellie Holcomb, and her new album, Red Sea Road, would be a great companion for this Lent season. So if you haven't grabbed that, go ahead and get it. And actually, next week, Ellie will be on the podcast, and you're going to hear all about it, and we cry, and you're just going to love it. She is incredible, and I absolutely loved getting to sit down with her. In a couple of weeks, we have another podcast coming where I am going to answer your questions about what it is like to write a book and what the process of writing a book is. If you want to shoot me questions, you can do that on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Email me, Annie@AnnieFDowns.com. All the other places are Annie F. Downs, F as in fancy. I'm super easy to find, probably embarrassingly so. But I'd love to know your questions. When we first said this, a lot of people said, yeah, I want to know this and this. So I've got a running list. I've got a friend who's going to come in and chat with me about it so you don't listen to me interviewing myself, and just give you one author's perspective on what it is like to go from no book existing to having a book due in July that will come out in June of 18. I hope you enjoyed this conversation today and are really, you know, truly thinking through what this Lent season leading up to Easter is going to be for you. Well, my fun for today was getting to talk to Rachel and Amanda, so I hope that you go out there and do something that sounds fun to you as well. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we will see you next time.